Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to continue on with this series about Islam. And I just want to apologize before I even get started. Today is going to be a rough one. Today I'm going to be talking about the verses in the Quran that encourage violence. There is a theme, a meme, if you will, in our modern media that seems to promote the idea that Islam is a religion of peace and that the violence that we see happening in different parts of the world perpetrated by various violent jihadi terrorist style Muslims is it's just a few. It's the actions of a few. Well, friends, today is going to be a little bit rough. Like I said, it is the actions of a few. That is correct. But today we're going to be talking about what the Quran says that a faithful Allah-following Muslim, how they should be treating the unbelievers. The verses are there, my friends. They're there. And so this podcast is going to get a little rough. We're going to be talking about these verses. There's a lot of them, and I'm only going to cover a few, but they're there. So anyway, with that, like I said, I apologize, but let's go ahead and jump right in. Okay, let's move on and look at another part of Islam. Here in America, and I believe also in Europe, in many parts of the world, the faith of Islam is, it's a little skewed when you look at the media. Why is that? Some people point towards conspiracy and try to say that the media is helping Islam. Others say that there is no conspiracy at all, and that Islam is exactly how the media portrays it. And others still, I tend to fall into this camp, would say that the media is afraid to talk about the negative aspects of Islam because, well, let's face it, Islam will threaten your life. The fact is, friends, there are verses in the Quran that say that they should slay unbelievers and torture them and do unusual things to them. And also, for those that they do not kill, they're supposed to subdue them in a way where they force them to pay the jizya, which is a tax, a pretty heavy tax at that. And they're supposed to do this beyond, for the purpose of making everyone who is an unbeliever feel subdued. Now, is there moderate Muslims? Absolutely. I've met many of them. They're very nice. Some would argue that they're only moderate because they're waiting for their population statistics, their numbers, to reach a certain percentage before they start acting up. I think that there is merit for that. But, okay, I have met some Muslims. They're very nice. The Hadith and the Quran does teach to lie to unbelievers. Okay, so having said that, nonetheless, I will say that I've met some very kind Muslims who appear to be very peaceful and moderate. And here would be my answer to that. There are 109. Oh, let the weight of that hit you. There are 109 verses in the Quran that speak to the situation of violently, this is not a spiritual struggle, violently hurting, punishing, killing, torturing, slaying, cutting off the hands and feet, crucifying, cutting the throats of unbelievers. Guys, it's there. I'm going to read a few of them right now, but I'm just telling you, there's 109 of them. I'm not even going to read. I'm going to read just a few. And as I was going through these verses, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, there's so many of them that I would consider, wow, that one's a good one to include in the podcast. And I got to the point where I just started thinking, you know what, just start grabbing some. There's so many, and they're so very clear. Now, the media and more moderate Muslims will argue that those verses are talking about a spiritual struggle, that jihad is a spiritual struggle. It has nothing to do with violence, physical, bloody violence. Well, I'm going to read some verses to you, and I'll let you decide. What do you think? Okay. So, and by the way, if you want to look at a whole list, go to a website. Oh boy. It's called thereligionofpeace.com. I don't know if these guys are Christians or not. They don't reveal that. They don't really say much about anything about themselves, but they just simply state on thereligionofpeace.com. If you go to religionofpeace.com/Quran/023-violence.htm, you know what? That's a lot. I'll put it on the website. If you go to that link, you'll get your boat full. You won't know what to say at that point. There's really nothing you can say other than take my side and say, regardless of the actions of many moderate, quote-unquote, Muslims, as far as the Quran and the Hadith is concerned, this is a very bloodthirsty religion. If they choose to disobey their book, that's one thing. Great. Good. I hope they do for everybody else's sake. But if they claim to follow Islam, this is what their book says. Okay, there are people that accuse. In fact, my neighbor, she came back at me and said, the Bible has bloody verses. Yes, it does. I will talk about those in other series, talking about stuff like the Canaanites in the Old Testament, the guys that, they followed the Israelites around in the wilderness. They killed many of the Israelites. They were constantly messing with the Israelites. This is a group of people who burned their children in the loving arms of Molech. Okay, as they're sizzling to death on this gigantic fire red Santa Claus looking statue, they would place their children in its loving lap. And as the children sizzled to death on the statue, they would read a Christmas list type list to this. You seeing some parallels there? Makes you think. They would read a list of things they wanted from Molech that year. Okay. The justice of God had to be met. God had to go in there and wipe that culture out, period. This was a wicked people. Anyway, more on that on a whole other series. I don't want to get caught up on a rabbit trail. I'm so famous for that. But my point is this. Jesus did not condone violence against unbelievers. Quite the contrary, okay? And we're not talking about self-defense here. I'm just strictly saying you don't go out with a sword and try to convert people, or a gun, or a noose, or whatever. Okay, that's not how it's done. Contrary to what the ancient Catholics believed, where they would burn people alive for not buying into all of the beliefs of the Catholic Church. I'm sorry, that's a matter of history. That's what happened. Okay, they don't do that in the United States nowadays. I've heard that some of that similar type stuff is happening in different parts of the world. I'm not going to get into that right now. But again, the Bible does not condone that kind of stuff, especially Jesus. Okay, there's a couple specific instances. Anyway, wow, rabbit trails. Okay, what does the Quran say? All right, look at this. Surah 5, verse 3. And this particular one actually defines an enemy that is warring against them. Okay, so this is more of, you could argue, a self-defense. But again, compare that to what you hear Jesus saying of turn your other cheek to your enemy. All right. And yes, there is something to be said for self-defense. If somebody breaks in my house, there will be problems. Okay. But Surah 5:33, it says the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and his messenger and strive to make mischief in the land is only this. Listen to this, guys. My goodness. This is not self-defense. That they should be murdered or crucified, or that their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides. All right. So like if you had your right foot and your left hand cut off, or vice versa, that's the whole idea that now you're stuck as a basically a one-armed, one-legged person, and you're going to have to use a cane or a crutch or something for the rest of your life. So let me finish that verse. Hand and feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be imprisoned. This shall be as a disgrace for them. In this world and in the hereafter, they shall have a grievous chastisement. All right, look at that. Surah 3, verse 56, as to those who reject faith, I will punish them with a terrible agony in this world and in the hereafter, nor will they have anyone to help. All right, look at that. That has nothing to do with self-defense. This is just those who reject faith. This is what the Quran says. Surah 3, verse 56. Surah 8, verse 12. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. There's that terror word. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. Okay, so let me ask you this. Strike off their heads, strike off every fingertip of them who disbelieve. Does this sound like a spiritual struggle to you? Does this sound like just a spiritual battle that's taken place? You're just struggling. You're, you know, kind of like the Muslim version of apologetics, trying to share your faith and grapple with tough issues, maybe argue things out. Maybe you're fighting against sin in your life. Does that, I mean, really? No. No, this is very specific here. You know, cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. That has nothing to do with sin. That has nothing to do with some kind of spiritual struggle. We're talking about physical, real people. Terror in their hearts. And then strike off their heads and strike off their fingertips. Surah 8, verse 59 and 60. And let not those who disbelieve suppose that they can outstrip Allah's purpose. Lo, they cannot escape. Okay, we're talking about they here. We're talking about escaping. We're not talking about sin. We're not talking a spiritual struggle. Make ready for them all thou canst of armed force and of horses tethered, that thereby ye may dismay the enemy of Allah and your enemy. Surah 8, verse 39, and fight with them until there is no more fitna. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. Fitna, which is apparently disorder and unbelief. And religion should be only for Allah. All right. Are you guys feeling this? According to the Quran, according to Muhammad, everybody must be a Muslim. That is mission number one. Make the world Islamic, the whole world. Religion should only be for Allah. Surah 9:29, check this out. Fight those who believe not in Allah, nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which hath been forbidden by Allah and his messenger, nor acknowledge the religion of truth, that's Islam, if they are of the people of the book, that's us. Let me try that. Even if they are of the people of the book, until they pay the jizya, that's that tax, with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. That has nothing to do with peace. That has nothing to do with a spiritual struggle. Are you reading that? Do you hear that? So Christians and Jews, those people of the book, that's what Muhammad was referring to, until they pay the jizya, the tax, with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. Look at this. Surah 474. Let those fight in the way of Allah who sell the life of this world for the other. All right. In case you missed that, we're talking about Islamic martyrs here. Yeah, the Quran actually encourages this. Let those fight in the way of Allah who sell the life of this world for the other. Whoso fighteth in the way of Allah, be he slain or be he victorious on him, we shall bestow a vast reward. I'm a little confused about the we part, but I'll go ahead and skip on. Surah, chapter 4, verse 89. They but wish that ye should reject faith as they do, and thus be on the same footing as they, but take not friends from their ranks. All right, this is what the Quran says about Muslims, moderate Muslims, serious Muslims. This is what it says. Take not friends from there, that would be us, anybody who doesn't believe. Take not friends from their ranks until they flee in the way of Allah from what is forbidden. But if they turn renegades, seize them and slay them wherever ye find them. And, in any case, take no friends or helpers from their ranks. Guys, that's just a small sampling. But that's what the Quran says. All right, so if you still think they're religion of peace, go to my website, click on that link to this religionofpeace.com, and look at this article. They have 109 verses that prove without a shadow of a doubt conclusively that that is not what the Quran teaches. There is no peace. All right? What have you to do with peace? You know what I'm saying? And well, I have to ask the question to the moderates, to those who are moderate Muslims. Why are they not up in arms screaming about what the extremists, as they are called, are doing? You know, when a quote-unquote Christian, because ain't no Christian who's following the Bible, no Christian is going to do some kind of act of terrorism. But when some quote-unquote Christian of some kind, or, well, Republican for that matter, or whatever, somebody from the more conservative side does something stupid and kills people, it's all over the news. I mean, they won't let it go. It's nonstop. But when a Muslim does something wicked, horrible, cruel, rather than saying a Muslim did this, rather than saying a terrorist did this, most of the time our news just says a gunman. Okay, they just skip right over it. In fact, they hide it. Is it a conspiracy, or are they just cowards? I don't know. All right? It's hard to say. But look at this. Surah 4, verse 95. And this is talking about moderates, okay? This is the moderate Muslim being addressed right here in the Quran. Not equal are those believers who sit at home and receive no hurt, and those who strive and fight in the cause of Allah with their goods and their persons. All right, so that's saying the moderates are not equal to the ones who use their lives and their goods, their money, their possessions, to fight in the cause of Allah. This is not a spiritual struggle, right? I mean, can you look at that verse and get anything about a spiritual struggle here? Allah has granted a grade higher to those who strive and fight with their goods and persons than to those who sit at home. Unto all in faith hath Allah promised good, but those who strive and fight hath he distinguished above those who sit at home by a special reward. And that's what we're talking about, this whole idea of the 72 virgins chained to walls. To all my Muslim ladies, are you kidding me? What kind of faith teaches that? These 72 virgins chained to walls for all of eternity so that this Muslim man can get wasted on wine and walk around and take advantage of these women chained to walls. That's what it says. Unreal. Okay, so I just want to establish that now you can see that Islam is not, according to the Quran, okay, there are moderates. We know that. We can all acknowledge that. There's many of them. You guys live near them. But according to the Quran, what Muhammad said, according to the angel Gabriel, or so they claim, Islam is not a religion of peace. All right? that's probably a good place to stop. Like I said, that was a little rough. I know. I don't mean to be inflammatory. I'm just simply showing you guys what it says in the Quran. Does that mean we should not try to help Muslims find the truth and get saved? No, absolutely not. Let's get them saved. Guys, don't fear Muslims. Don't fear, like Jesus said, don't fear the person that can take your life but can't touch your soul. Now, I just paraphrased that one pretty bad. But the point is, we as Christians should be loving everybody, and we should do our best and try our hardest to reach everybody. So go out, find yourself a Muslim friend, and start witnessing. They're very nice people. Most of them don't want anything to do with these violent verses and will actually tend to interpret them, as clear as they might seem, in a more moderate, this is only a spiritual struggle kind of way. Okay? So let's go out there and let's try to reach these people with the love of Jesus. Teach them about the cross. Teach them about what Christ did on that cross for them. Now, we're going to get into that a little bit towards the end of the series. It is tricky trying to witness to Muslims. One of the strongest, most powerful arguments for a Muslim is the love, okay? So walk the walk before you talk the talk with a Muslim, okay? But we'll get into that later. That's not for today. And so anyway, come out to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com. And there, guys, you can leave comments and questions. I do want to talk to you guys. And you can also catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.